Tom, thank you so much for the introduction. Thank you so much for letting us be here this morning and kind of gatecrash your Sunday service, I guess, to some extent. I didn't get the memo to wear my uniform, so apologies for that. I am all Oasis, I'm all in, but obviously I didn't get the memo about wearing the uniform this morning. I kind of want, in prayerful consideration of what to share with you today, I kind of well aware that you have been such a blessing to Oasis. It was before my journey there, and the stories that I hear and the continuing blessing you have for us, I kind of wanted to share with you something this morning that I didn't want to do and ask, okay? I wanted to bless you. I actually wanted to challenge you this morning. I actually wanted to perhaps inspire you this morning. So I hope you'll be inspired. I hope you'll be challenged. I hope you'll be encouraged by some of the things that I believe God wants to share with you. He wanted to share it with me, and I want to share it with you. So we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 7, chapter 37, and reading from verse 5 to 11. And perhaps some of you are familiar with the story. I don't know your background. I don't know you here. I don't know whether you're familiar with the story of Joseph. I kind of take a guess that you are, because even if you don't know the Bible version, you perhaps know a musical version or some kind of version of it. But this story of Joseph is a huge story. Go away and read it if you don't know it. But I just want to take a few verses from here, from verse 5 of this chapter. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in this field, tying up bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I've had another dream," he said. "The sun, the moon, the 11 stars, they bowed low before me." And this time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. I don't know what Joseph was thinking in telling these dreams to his family. I don't know what kind of response he was expecting his family to have. I don't know whether he was shocked by the response. I don't know whether he was expecting to be supportive of his dream, that as he shared this dream, this wonder they'd experienced, that his family would be like, "Oh, that's amazing, that's such good news." I don't know whether he thought the response would be that what he got. I don't know whether these dreams that Joseph had actually began to shape his expectations of what his future might look like. I don't know whether these dreams birthed within him something that was going to develop his character going forward. I wonder if these dreams unsettled him of what was expected of him. If I think about all this stuff with Joseph and these dreams and the questions that it raises for me, it all comes about from an innocent conversation I had with my wife, who's here with us today. This innocent conversation after a hard, long day at work, the usual tasks at home completed, the washing machine all put on and things done. In a moment of relaxation together, my wife looked into my eyes and said, "What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up?" Now, she didn't ask, "What did you want to be when you grow up?" Because that would have been easy. "I wanted to be an ice cream man." I don't know why you're laughing. It's a very good job. "I wanted to be an ice cream man, company car, nice sound system in the car, these beautiful things. I wanted to be an ice cream," but she didn't ask me that. She didn't ask me, "What did I want to be? What do I want to be?" Wait a minute. What do you mean, "What do I want to be?" Can't you see as you look into my wrinkled eyes, I'm not as young as I used to be? Wait a minute, I've not been asked that question for years, not since I was a child. And to be honest, I've not even asked myself that question. When was I even allowed to think like that? Why would I? I'm an adult. An adult doesn't necessarily have dreams anymore. Can't I show you my driving license that says I'm mature? Do I really still need to grow up? And as I think about this, and as I consider this, then I think the answer is, I think we do. I think we still need to grow up. Because we should never stop dreaming. We should never stop reaching for our potential. And we should never stop growing. When did we stop dreaming? I guess like many of us, we've had our hopes and dreams when we were younger. Perhaps what career choices we'd make, what goals we'd achieve, what we'd do in life. And for many of us, those dreams, those desires, well, they remain just that. They've just remained as dreams. They've been altered by our course of life, those unexpected things that have happened, those unplanned moments, those things that have happened that have been undeserved. And here we are today. Our dreams, perhaps a distant memory. Joseph's dreams didn't fulfill themselves in the way that Joseph expected, or even the way his family thought they would. I wonder if, through the betrayal of Joseph later on in the story, I wonder if through that betrayal, Joseph stopped dreaming. I wonder, as he journeyed through slavery, the dream just became a childish vision. I wonder, through false allegation and tragedy, those dreams just disappeared in the light of day. I wonder if through imprisonment, being forgotten, abandoned, he also abandoned those dreams. He could have, and perhaps many of us should have said, well, he should have. But something tells me that he didn't. When he was sold into slavery, he didn't become bitter or resentful. He didn't give up. In chapter 39 of the same book of Genesis, in verse 2, it tells us that Joseph succeeded in everything that he did. That's after all these things are happening. Later on in the same chapter, it says when he was in prison, well, what did he do? Well, he looked after others. This opportunity to perhaps wallow and to remain where he is and think, oh, woe is me, my dreams are shattered, my dreams are over, I'm not going to dream again. He continues to pursue what God has given him. When forgotten, he remained faithful. When in power, he remained merciful. This is a man who doesn't give up, who doesn't stop dreaming. And neither should you. In this journey of life, we have our own personal betrayals. We have our own imprisonment and rejection and allegations. But through it all, we should remain faithful. Be determined to be successful in whatever circumstance you find yourselves in. And always, always be merciful. Don't stop dreaming. It appears to me that every day Joseph was aiming to reach for his potential. Whether that was a slave, or whether that was a prisoner, or even a prince, he always drove for more. His circumstances didn't prevent him from moving forward and reaching for more. It didn't cause him to freeze, or to wallow, or to have self-pity, but he moved forward in the circumstances that he was in and made positive choices. I believe that every one of us has value and worth. Every single one of us. We say it to our community at Oasis as they come through their doors. We tell them that every one of them is loved, that every one of them has value, and every one of them has worth. And you do too. Every single one of you. And you have the potential in your life to positively impact others. Whether that's your partner, whether that's your children, whether that's your family, your friends, your school, your workplace, your church. You have the potential within you to positively impact a life. You all have that potential. Don't let your circumstances or your situation tell you otherwise. And finally, we should be forever willing to grow. In the New Testament, Paul writes about all sorts of letters to all sorts of people. Most of the letters from Paul are encouraging, some are very challenging, and let's be honest, some can be quite controversial. These letters from Paul, but this letter that he writes to the church in Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, well, it's challenging and encouraging. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, it tells us this: the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I'm no gardener, but I know this. Fruit doesn't just appear overnight. Fruit needs time to grow. And there's also seasons to growth. But the tree never stops producing fruit. It never stops growing. The only time it stops is when it's dead. It's the same for us as followers of Jesus Christ. I believe we've always got to keep growing. We have to keep bearing fruit in our lives. And let's be honest, some harvests of our lives are better than others. Some seasons in our lives make it harder to grow this kind of fruit that Paul writes about than others. But bearing fruit, we must. Growing, we must. We must keep growing. We must keep producing. Or else, dare I say it, our faith is dead. So what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? I'm challenged this morning because I want to be more loving. I want to be more joyful. I want to be more peaceful. I want to be more patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and in control of my desires. I want to keep dreaming. Because those dreams can seem so distant, they can seem so out of reach, and can seem to take a lifetime to fulfill. But you need to remind yourself that God's dream for us is that we become the people that he intended us to be. You should want to make a positive impact on those that are around you. So keep reaching for your potential. Keep growing. Bear more fruit. And be all that God dreamed for you to be.